Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Victor Beatty reporting Syria's president links a political solution to the destruction of all terrorists. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad told a visiting Russian parliamentary delegation Sunday his country must first eliminate the terror threat as a way to reach a political solution in the country's nearly five-year civil war. The state-run Sana News Agency said Mr. Assad stressed that taking out terror groups would preserve the country's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Analyst Joseph Olmert of the University of South Carolina says his comments are nothing new.
He may feel a bit more secure these days due to the Russian intervention, even though I must tell you that a lot of things happening in Syria on the ground, which are not coming to the attention of the Western media, in various areas of the country, which indicate to me that as of now, the real actual situation on the ground there hasn't changed in a dramatic way or in a fundamental way.
Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and his Russian counterpart, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, discussed by phone Sunday the prospect of an internationally backed political settlement that would involve Syrian authorities and what they call the patriotic opposition. Low voter turnout reported in the Republic of Congo Sunday as people there were asked to cast ballots on constitutional changes allowing President Denis Sassou Nguesso to seek another term. The proposed amendments would abolish a two-term limit for president and an age limit of 70 for candidates. This Brazzaville resident wonders at what point were the people consulted about the referendum. Results are expected later this week. The opposition called on voters to boycott the referendum. President Sassou Nguesso has ruled Congo for most of the past 36 years. This is VOA News. Tanzanians went to the polls Sunday to elect a new president and parliament in what could be the tightest race in that country's history. The ruling CCM is challenged by a coalition of opposition parties that nominated former Prime Minister Edward Lowassa as its presidential candidate. He faced Works Minister John Magufuli of the ruling CCM. President Jakaya Kikwete is stepping down after completing 2 5-year terms. Meanwhile, voters in Ivory Coast went to the polls Sunday in a first round of their presidential election. Incumbent President Alassane Ouattara faced 6 contestants and was favored to win.
Le vote est un processus démocratique.
Mr. Ouattara says he wants the West African country to become permanently democratic so the 2010 post-election violence can be erased. That violence left at least 3,000 dead after then-President Laurent Gbagbo and then-candidate Ouattara both claimed victory. In Guatemala, comedian Jimmy Morales won the presidential election in that Central American country. A political outsider promising clean government, Mr. Morales captured more than 70% of Sunday's vote. Former First Lady Sandra Torres was defeated. President Otto Perez was forced from power and arrested in a corruption scandal last month. In Argentina, a tight presidential race may force a runoff next month between the governor of Buenos Aires province, Daniel Scioli, and Mauricio Macri, the mayor of Buenos Aires. Mr. Scioli has been endorsed by incumbent President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, who has dominated national politics for a dozen years, along with her late husband, Nestor Kirchner. With some two-thirds of polling stations reporting, Mr. Marchi leads 36% to 35%. As the flow of migrants and refugees through the Balkans toward Western Europe continues unabated, European leaders meeting in Brussels Sunday agreed to send border guards to Slovenia, expand reception facilities, and improve the screening of those entering from Syria, Africa, and South Asia. Donald Tusk is the president of the European Council.
Today it's our common position in Europe that the priority is to protect our external borders. And I am absolutely aware, of course, that it's not because of my arguments only, but maybe more because of this really dramatic and brutal development on our borders.
Sunday's meeting, the latest in a series of top-level EU meetings that have so far failed to find a unified approach to deal with the thousands of migrants streaming into the EU. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says Sunday that adding video surveillance to the sacred Jerusalem holy site to Jews, as known as the Temple Mount, and Muslims as the Al-Aqsa Mosque, is in Israel's best interest in the wake of weeks of violence. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voices of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Monday, October 26th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Vote counting is underway from Sunday's Tanzania presidential and parliamentary elections.
There were a few polling stations where voting electoral materials were delayed a little bit and people had to wait longer. Other than those, the whole process really can be said to have gone on fairly smoothly and peacefully.
That's VOA's Vincent Mankori on assignment in Dar es Salaam. Meanwhile, the chairman of the opposition Chadema party says police raided a Chadema vote counting station, confiscated computers, and arrested opposition officials. And vote counting is also underway from Sunday's Ivory Coast presidential election.
The results will show that the Ivorians are choosing Mr. Ouattara as their president because they are happy with what he did in 5 years and they want it to continue until 2020.
Candia Camara is the deputy campaign chairperson for President Alassane Ouattara's ruling coalition. An opposition leader is claiming victory in Sunday's Congo-Brazzaville referendum because of what he calls very poor turnout. And European leaders seek a common policy on migrants. Those stories, plus Mark Omar's Post and our listener of the day, are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Vote counting is underway from Sunday's presidential and parliamentary elections in Tanzania. On the line from Dar es Salaam is VOA's Vincent Mankori. Good morning to you, Vincent.
Good morning, James.
Thank you very much for joining us on Daybreak Africa. Tell us, how did voting go on Sunday in Tanzania?
You know, as from Dar es Salaam, where I went around and observed a number of polling stations, things went fairly smoothly. Very peacefully. There were concerns earlier, way before the election day, that there could be some issues at the polling stations that could lead to a little chaos, but apparently it didn't come through. People seemed to be happy with the process.
When you said the process went well, that all election materials, all polling materials, were they delivered on time? Did everybody have a chance to vote?
Like in any situation, there were a few problems here and there. There were a few polling stations where voting electoral materials were delayed a little bit and people had to wait longer than other polling stations to cast their vote. There were a few places where the registers for voters were missing. They didn't come in, and therefore people's names could not be verified, and therefore they had to wait for quite a bit. There also a few issues in other polling stations where they claimed that they had a shortage of ballot papers. They came in the morning. Other than those which can be said to be isolated incidents, the whole process really can be said to have gone on fairly smoothly and peacefully.
So when are preliminary results expected to be announced? Have they already started to announce results?
No, the system is a bit different. They are waiting. The Electoral Commission says that it's going to wait to tally the presidential vote and release the final result and announce the winner of this election on the 29th. The rest of the other positions as members of parliament and civic positions, those will progressively be announced because the law permits that to be done way before the presidential election, as they determine from each constituency. But as for the critical one, the presidential election, an official of the Electoral Commission just spoke this evening that the law allows them to take it all the way up to the seventh day, which literally will be, they say, they would announce on Friday. But we don't know if they could be compelled because of the pressure and the anxiety of the citizens to do this on any time before them. Because actually, the president is supposed, I think, to be announced and be sworn in by Saturday.
That's VOA's Vincent Mankori on assignment in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. The chairman of Tanzania's main opposition, Chadema Political Party, says Police raided Echadema vote tallying station late Sunday night, confiscated computers, and arrested opposition officials. Freeman Oboye described the alleged raid as a malice exercise because he says initial results are showing that Chadema is winning by a landslide in many parts of the country. He says Chadema, as a political party, has the right to tally votes alongside the Electoral Commission so as to guide against fraud.
The most bizarre incident that has taken place tonight, actually, is the police has raided our tallying center, arrested all our officials and technical team that were doing the country tallying, confiscated all our computers and all of the equipment that were used and programmed for the tallying job. Now, we really don't know what is the motive behind, but they've decided to confiscate, and our officials are still struggling with the police in Dar es Salaam to see that our equipment are returned on time. We understand this is a malice exercise that has been carried out because the initial results are showing that Chadema is winning by landslide in many parts of the country. And this is kind of worrying CCM and its government because once they know we have the data collected from all the polling centers and polling stations around the country, then if they rig or if they declare anything to the contrary, it will certainly ruin their party. So they've decided to raid our tally center in Dar es Salaam, thinking that by incapacitating our network of collection could probably favor them.
Did the police tell you why they raided your tally center in Dar es Salaam?
Unfortunately, I'm not in Dar es Salaam. I'm also in my constituencies up north in Kilimanjaro. And we are busy, you know, working in our this part of the country. But, of course, the information that I'm receiving from our technical staff in Dar es Salaam is at the beginning they say they had the report that there are some fake credit cards that are being manufactured by our team, which is certainly a hoax. But at a later stage, they say we have no permit to tally our own votes countrywide. It's only the National Electoral Commission that has the official permission to tally the votes. It doesn't make any sense at all because we are a political party.
What are you hearing from, say, other major regions of the country, say Zanzibar? What are you hearing from Zanzibar in terms of how you are doing?
To be honest, I don't really know much about Zanzibar, how we are doing. At least I can comment about the northern part of Tanzania where I am today.
That's the Kilimanjaro region.
This is Kilimanjaro, Arusha region, and Tanga region. In Kilimanjaro region, we have 9 constituencies. The results for the first 6 constituencies is favoring our party 100%, from councillorship to parliamentary to presidential votes. In Arusha region, there are 7 constituencies. So far, we've won 5 constituencies out of the 7. So there's a chance that we win all the constituencies in Kilimanjaro region, all the constituencies in Manyara region, and all the constituencies in Arusha region. So we are doing very well. We are also doing very well in Dar es Salaam.
Freeman Mboya is chairman of the opposition Chadema Party of Tanzania. He was speaking with me from the capital, Dar es Salaam. In Ivory Coast, votes are being counted after Sunday's first round of the country's presidential election. No major incidents were reported, unlike in 2010 when post-election violence turned deadly. Incumbent President Alassane Ouattara faced 6 contestants and is favored to win. Emily Yop reports from Abidjan.
Voting started slowly on Sunday as many polling stations opened 1 to 5 hours later than scheduled. So, just like 40 people behind him, a voter who would only identify himself as Bobu waited. He said it was worth it.
Pour tout Ivoirien, c'est important. Il faut venir s'exprimer. J'attends de ces élections une stabilité.
He says it is important for every Ivorian to come vote. He says he's hoping these elections will bring stability to the country so it can prosper. These elections are crucial for Ivory Coast. In 2010, post-election violence left at least 3,000 people dead after then-President Laurent Gbagbo and candidate Alassane Ouattara both claimed victory. Eventually, Gbagbo was arrested and Ouattara became president. 34,000 soldiers were deployed around the country for security during Sunday's balloting. 7,000 local and international monitors had been accredited to observe the polls. Among them was the civil society election project Peace CI, which has 2,000 observers on the ground. Spokesperson Mariam Daou Gabara says there were minor incidents.
Nous avions aussi constaté l'absence de matériel, etc. Mais
she says that besides the delayed opening of polling stations, there were reports of some missing voting equipment, but that there has been no major incident that could compromise a peaceful voting process. Incumbent President Alassane Ouattara faced six other candidates in his bid for a second term. He has appeared confident of victory in recent weeks, proclaiming he wanted to win on the first round knockout punch. He faces a divided and dwindling opposition. Three candidates had already pulled out of the race, claiming elections conditions were not free and fair, and called for a boycott. Ouattara's main opponent is Pascal Effiong-Guessant from the party founded by former President Laurent Gbagbo, but he has been struggling to get the vote of Gbagbo's hardliners, who criticize him for taking Gbagbo's seat while the former president awaits trial at the International Criminal Court. The Electoral Commission says it hopes to release the results within 48 hours. Emily Opp for VOA News in Abidjan.
Today's Monday, October 26th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 16 minutes past the hour. An official of Ivory Coast ruling coalition says President Alassane Ouattara will be re-elected on the first ballot after all the votes are counted from Sunday's presidential election because Mr. Ouattara brought development and peace during his first 5 years in power. Candia Camara, deputy campaign chairperson for Mr. Ouattara's ruling coalition, says Ivorians voted peacefully on Sunday because they want their country to continue to move forward with development.
The election is going, I can say, very well. Because, first of all, during the whole campaign, we didn't notice any violence anywhere in the country. The people went to vote without violence, without trouble. I can say they went to vote in peace. I'm sure that there will be more people this time than in 2010 because the people want elections. The people want to say to everybody that now in Ivory Coast there is peace and the people want to see the country go forward and be developed.
Madam Camara, I spoke to someone in the opposition, and they said that the voter turnout was very low because they feel that President Ouattara is not doing what the people want. That is, he should talk about reconciliation first to release political prisoners and then organize an election that everybody can participate in.
That is opinion. I think that the best thing will be the results. But I can say, and you can verify, everybody can tell you that things are going very well. And I say and I repeat, for the first time since 1990, but it's the first time we go to the election in Ivory Coast without any violence. And I'm sure that when we're going to have all the results, we will notice that the things are better now than in 2010. You can see that everybody is happy here in Cote d'Ivoire because of what the President Ouattara did in only 4 years regarding the development of the country, regarding the peace, regarding reconciliation. He also worked to make people happy. He built a lot of schools. He will keep on building a lot of hospitals, roads, and he gives money to women to work, you know, to get dignity, to be happy, to help the family. Now, everybody can notice that Ivorians are happier than 5 years ago because they have now a president who takes care of them and their problems, who takes care of their family. And the result will show that the Ivorian has chosen Mr. Ouattara as the president because they are happy with what he did in 5 years and they wanted to continue President Ouattara until 2020.
Madam Camara, so nice to talk with you. Thank you very much again.
You're welcome.
Candia Camara is deputy campaign chairperson for President Alassane Ouattara's ruling coalition. She was speaking with me from the capital, Abidjan. An official of Ivory Coast's main opposition party, the Ivorian Popular Front of former President Laurent Gbagbo, says voter turnout in Sunday's election was poor because many issues were left unresolved before the election. Jean-Gervais Tchieide, vice president in charge of finance and budget, also says claim of progress under President Alassane Ouattara is only a fantasy because many Ivorians are not benefiting from such development.
What we have noticed all over the country is that in terms of participation, we have calculated that it is about 12%, which means that the Ivorians were not concerned by this election because of the many problems which have not been solved before the election. Problems like the commission, problems concerning the list of voters, and also the reconciliation, which has not been operated, because we have about 700 political prisoners in the prison. People of the party of Mr. Laurent Gbagbo, who have been put in jail for political reasons. This is the reason why many Ivorians did not go to vote. They stayed at home.
In the meantime, President Alassane Ouattara, he is supposed to be re-elected because the president says that under his administration that the Ivorian economy has begun to rebound, that things are doing okay.
Well, this is what he has said to show that he was a good president. But when you are a good president and the economy is going well, the people should sense that in their daily life, in terms of daily food, the average income of the citizens, and all things like that. But poverty has gone higher than before, than 5 years ago. So how can we talk about economy growing?
Jean-Gervais Tchieide is the vice president in charge of finance and budget for the opposition Ivorian Popular Front Party of former President Laurent Gbagbo. He was speaking with me from Abidjan. An opposition leader is claiming victory in Sunday's Congo-Brazzaville referendum because of what he calls very poor turnout. Guy Kimfusia-Romi, president of the Union for Democracy and Republic Party, says the Congolese people heeded the opposition call to stay at home because the referendum is an illegal means to keep President Denis Sassou Nguesso in power. Romi says about 3% of the population turned out in Sunday's referendum.
The vote has been bad. No more to go to vote. 3% and going to vote. 19% alone at home. No move to go to vote.
So the people listen to your call not to turn out. They listen to you.
Yes, the people listen to me to don't go to vote. Stand at home.
What happens if the referendum is approved? That means President Denis Sassou Nguesso will continue to be president.
He don't continue to be president. He have to leave power and organize new election.
So the 3% of the people that voted, if they voted for him, would that be considered acceptable to you?
Not acceptable for me. We don't accept that 3% person change constitution of Congo. We don't accept.
So what is next? What's next? What are you going to do in case the president comes tomorrow and said the people of Congo Brazzaville have approved the referendum to change the constitution?
We continue to fight. We continue to stay at home, to don't work. We continue to manifest until rise the new constitution.
So Monday, people go back to work? Are people going to go back to work? Or are you going to continue to stay at home?
We have to continue to stay at home until Mr. Sassou stops new constitution.
That's going to hurt the economy, that people are not going to have jobs, people are not going to have food to eat. Are you concerned?
It's necessary for us. It's necessary. We believe that all the countries in the world have to help us contain Mr. Sassou to leave his project. We ask that international countries help us and ask to Mr. Sassou, don't change constitution.
So as far as you are concerned, the people will continue to stay at home to protest?
Yes, we are in fight. We are fighting. It's necessary for
We don't do anything else.
Kimfusia Romi is president of the Union for Democracy and Republic Party of Congo Brazzaville. He was speaking with me from the capital, Brazzaville. Leaders from several European countries are holding an emergency meeting to decide how to deal with the escalating migration crisis as the weather worsens and temperatures drop. Stranded in the Balkans, thousands of migrants are stranded in the Balkans as they try to reach Western Europe, mostly Germany and Sweden. Zlatica Hook has more.
Thousands of people reached the Slovenian border Monday, where authorities controlled the rate of entry. For some wet, cold and exhausted people, the wait was just too long.
If you have a heart, open the door. The kids want to die in the air. Please.
The UN Refugee Agency ran out of supplies Monday as it tried to accommodate at least 2,500 people stranded at Serbia's border with Croatia.
We are waiting now for the trucks to bring more supplies. People are cold and wet. The situation is terrible.
A Serbian official told reporters at the border that his country is doing all it can to help people waiting to cross.
They have enough food, enough medications, and enough doctors. But I can repeat again that this is not a solution. Serbia can't solve this on its own.
Croatian Prime Minister Zoran Milanovic reprimanded Hungary for creating the backlog by sealing its borders with the two Balkan countries.
That's viewers Latika Hulk reporting. Time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. And here is Mark Owuma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Very good Monday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we begin with athletics. Ethiopian Cecil Lema ran the quickest time of his life, winning the Frankfurt Marathon in 2 hours, 6 minutes and 26 seconds in Germany on Sunday. Kenyans Lani Ruto and Alphas Lagat placed second and third. Meanwhile, Gulume Tolesa clocked 2 hours, 23 minutes and 12 seconds to lead Dinkinesh Mekesh and Koren Jelela in a 1-3 Ethiopian medal podium sweep in the women's contest. Turning to football, Russia beat South Africa 2-0 at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup in Concepcion, Chile on Sunday. Early on Saturday, Croatia pipped defending champions Nigeria 2-1. Brazil outwitted Guinea 3-1 and Mali dismissed Honduras 3-0 on Friday. Nigeria and Mali topped their respective groups and advanced to the knockout phase of the contest. Meanwhile, Guinea lost 3-1 to host Senegal in the return leg of the African Nations Championship qualifier in Dakar on Sunday. With the sides deadlocked at 3-all on aggregate, Guinea advanced to the championship in Rwanda next year courtesy of the away goal rule. Mozambique and Zambia drew 1-1. Zambia prevail with a 4-1 aggregate. Uganda beat Sudan 2-0 and are convincing winners with a 4-0 aggregate. Togo and Niger drew 1-1. Niger win the tie 3-1. Lesotho and Zimbabwe played to a 1-0 stalemate. Zimbabwe progress based on a 4-2 scoreline. Elsewhere, Chad pipped Gabon 1-0. Nonetheless, Gabon advanced on a 2-1 aggregate. Burkina Faso and Nigeria drew 0-0. Thus, Nigeria prevail on a 2-0 aggregate. Ethiopia dismissed Burundi 3-0 to win the tie 3-2. Despite Angola losing 2-1 to visitors South Africa, the Angolans prevailed 3-2 on aggregate. Mauritania and Mali drew 1-1. Mali advanced on a 3-2 advantage, while Morocco edged hosts Tunisia 3-2 in Tunis to clinch their ticket to Rwanda next January. In women's football, Ghana and hosts Ethiopia drew 2-2 in the Africa FIFA Women's Under-20 World Cup qualifiers in Addis Ababa on Saturday, while hosts Nigeria pipped South Africa 2-1 in Abuja. Turning to rugby, defending champions New Zealand bounced back from a 12-7 halftime deficit to edge South Africa 2018 in a Rugby World Cup semi-final in London, England on Saturday. Finally, the week-long Africa Pool Championship gets underway in Maseru, Lesotho today, Monday. South Africa are defending champions, having won the event in Tanzania last year. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. And that is it for this Monday, October 26th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for starting this week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford and reporters Peter Clutty and Ricky Stryak, I'm James Butty in Washington, hoping that you will make this week a very productive one.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, we follow up on Sunday's elections in Ivory Coast and Tanzania, as votes are being tallied to determine who will lead both countries for the next 5 years. Join host Shaka Sali and his guests for an in-depth analysis on the elections. That's Wednesday at 18:30 UTC on VOA Africa. Next on Let's Talk, turncoat. According to the dictionary, the word turncoat means a person who stops being a member of one group in order to join another group that opposes the first group. Do you want to know more? Join host Sandy Shomari and his guests discussing turncoat. This lighthearted show covers topics of your interest. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa. VOA.